Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a ministry that's here to help you believe, live, and, bask in the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, is what I'm trying to say. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and you can reach us now at 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question or a personal issue you'd like to discuss, well, now is the time to call 844-322-2742. In the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Wanted to read this passage out of the book of Galatians today, and it's I think a very relevant passage to us, and it's been relevant for 2,000 years, and it will continue to be relevant. Why? Because we as human beings have a hard time really settling truth, really settling issues, mm-hmm. as God has delivered those issues to us in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So Paul starts out this chapter, chapter 3 of the book of Galatians, with some really kind and subtle words. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly betrayed as crucified. So Paul did a magnificent job to lifting up the name of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. and to show these people in Galatia that Christ's work was sufficient to take away their sins and to bring life to them through faith in Jesus Christ. So he was publicly portrayed as crucified. So let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain, does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. So here's why this particular passage is so timely and relevant to us today. In this world, we have lots of messages coming at us, mm-hmm. lots of religious messages, and a lot of those sound authoritative. They have a ring of truth to them, mm-hmm. and we listen to them. And when we listen to them, we try to mix them with the pure message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we're trying to mix a works-based message with a faith-based message.
Right.
And when we do that, we mess up everything. It just becomes a blended mess. But there was a message about the law, and there was a purpose behind the law. And that purpose was to give us the knowledge of sin and to show us our need for Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. That was the purpose of the law. When we mix law and grace, and we try to make those one singular message, we rob the law of its purpose. Now, the grace of God has the power unto salvation. We see that in Romans chapter 1, that God presented this gospel message, and he said that within this gospel message is the power unto salvation. Well, what is this gospel message? It is the grace of God delivered to us in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Well, if we try to mix grace and blend it with the law, like I said, we rob the law of its purpose, mm-hmm. and we rob grace of its power. Yeah. That's why the Church of Jesus Christ is so anemic today. In pulpit after pulpit after pulpit, we hear mixed messages.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We are not hearing the purity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about here. It says, you receive the Spirit not through the works of the law, but by hearing through faith.
Yeah.
So they receive the Spirit, they receive life, they received righteousness, they receive forgiveness as a gift of God, the gift of grace to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same for us. We receive these things as gifts of grace. Now, when we come to Christ, once we have this eternal life. We try to live the Christian life not by faith, but through works, by human effort.
Right.
That's exactly what I did. That's what almost every believer on this planet does to some degree or another. And these words need to call us all on the carpet and say, you've got to decide.
Yeah.
Are you going to live this Christian life by grace through faith in Jesus Christ in exactly the same way you were saved? Are you going to try to change the rules of the system and try to bring in human effort to the mix? When you do, human effort is going to rise and be the central thing of your life. That human effort will lead you to failure and frustration every single time. If you want to enjoy the peace of God, if you want to enjoy the joy of your salvation, if you want to enjoy contentment deep within your soul, you have to come to this point and say, I'm a grace person. I have been saved by grace, and I'm going to live by my life in the realm of grace by faith in Jesus Christ.
Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? That's a great one to start off with. As you said, kind of subtle.
It's kind of subtle indeed.
844-322-2742. We have an open line for you right now at Basic Gospel, and we want you to take advantage of it. If you're hearing the broadcast at about 6 or 7 minutes after the hour, well, this is the live broadcast, and the number is open to you right now. You can reach out, and as I say, reach into the studio and speak directly with us here at Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. You know, we've been talking about it all month long, and that we have put the messages from Bob Christopher's Top 10 series into a CD series that we would like to send to you to say thanks for your love and support of Basic Gospel during the month of January. Now, what Bob learned through these 10 passages is that his identity is in Christ, that the Christian life is not about doing for God, but about being, about resting in the sure knowledge of what Jesus has already done for us as children of God. And we hope the same becomes true of your life as you listen through the Top 10. Be sure to request your copy when you make your January gift to Basic Gospel by this Friday. Again, donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net. Again, basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. We certainly appreciate that. Let's go to our phone lines and start right here in Dallas, Texas, and talk with Jerry, who's listening to us on The Word. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, Jerry.
Hello. How are y'all today?
Well, doing well. How about you, my friend?
I'm fantastic, but I'll get better.
I like true. That. Yeah. That's great.
Question is, there's a passage, I think it's in one of the Corinthian letters, where Paul talks about if a woman is divorced, if she remarries, she's considered an adulteress. Could you elaborate on that?
Well, that's what the law says, doesn't it? And so that was the question. And I think it's important, Jerry, for us to understand the context, understand the question, understand why Jesus answers the way he does. And it says in Pharisees, this is starting in verse 2 of Mark chapter 10, and Pharisees came up in order to test him, ask, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Now he answered them, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and to send her away. So the law had had a condition in it that said, if a man finds something wrong with his wife, then he can write her a certificate of divorce and send her away. Now, that certificate of divorce was given to protect the wife, to protect her standing within the community. So there was that provision in the law. And so, and Jesus said to them, because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. Okay, so there was a reason that was a provision in the law. And that provision was there because of the hardness of the people's hearts. And certainly the Jewish leaders were using that to their advantage in Jesus' day. They would say, hey, the law says it's okay for us to write a certificate of divorce, so that's what we're going to do. And they would write that certificate of divorce for any reason. And for most of them, the reason was so that they could marry someone else. And Jesus said, that's adultery. I mean, maybe the law is protecting you. Maybe you found a loophole so you can justify yourself according to the law. But really, that's nothing but adultery. And you shouldn't be doing that. And then he says this, and I think this is so important for us to understand. He talks about the hardness of heart, and then he says, but from the beginning of creation. So Jesus wants to take them all the way back to the very beginning, to Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, when God established marriage. And he wants to do that to show the sacredness of this marriage relationship, and to show that this marriage relationship has a greater purpose than just two coming together to become one as man and wife. And that purpose is to reflect the very love of Jesus Christ for the church. So not only are we coming together in marriage and unity and oneness as husband and wife, but as children of God, we reflect through that marriage the very love that Jesus Christ has for the church, the bride of Christ himself. So he says, I'm going to take you back to the beginning. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh, so they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. So from the get-go, from the very beginning, divorce was not an option as far as God was concerned. The way God designed it, when man and woman got together, they were to be together forever. But sin entered the picture, didn't it, Jerry? And yes. With sin, there became hardness of heart, and with hardness of heart, that led to divorce. With many, many couples throughout human history. And yes. So that's what he's saying. And in the house, the disciples ask him again about this matter, and he said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. So he's saying exactly what I just told you, Jerry. These leaders were using the law as a loophole. They wanted to get out of one marriage so they could marry someone else. And Jesus is calling that for what it is. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, but some date. I'm a widower.
Yeah.
And I've been dating this woman, and she's a divorcee. And she divorced her husband because he was unfaithful to her. And that's what she's afraid of, is that she remarries, and she'd be considered an adulteress in God's eyes. And that's what her concern is.
Well, I don't think that's the case at all. Her husband kind of abandoned her and went off to another woman and left her, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So she's basically free from that previous marriage, which means...
But it states in the Bible that as long as the husband is still alive, that she would be an adulteress. Does that apply today, I guess?
Well, is the husband with another woman?
He has been since.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's going to be impossible for her to go back to that husband.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. So I would point you to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and in there that you will see that in a case like that, she is free and is no longer bound to that first marriage. And with that, there's some freedom and liberty to remarry. So there's no need to feel guilty and to feel like you're going to become an adulterer if you move forward in a relationship. And we have to realize that the cross of Jesus Christ says something to us. It says to us that sins have been forgiven once and for all. And it says to us that divorce and then remarriage is certainly not the unpardonable sin.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. So, Jerry, gosh, assure her that God's grace is sufficient for this, and that if God's Spirit is leading y'all, and that you are building a relationship upon Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that you're growing together as brother and sister in the Lord, and if the Spirit is moving you to get married, follow the leading of the Spirit.
Yes.
Okay? Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And let me point you to a resource that we have. It's basicgospel.net/YouTube. And okay. That's our YouTube channel, and we have these questions asked and answered on our YouTube channel. Can a believer get divorced? And if they're divorced, can they get remarried? And we go through the scriptures, and I would encourage you to do that with your girlfriend or fiance or whatever she is to you, and work through the Word of God together, and I think you'll be encouraged and gain great comfort through those two videos.
All right, thank you.
Hey, thanks, Jerry. We appreciate your call.
Yes, we certainly do. Bob, in addition to that, I'm going to let our listeners know that on our answers page on our website, we post the most frequently answered questions or asked questions with answers that come, of course, straight out of the Word of God. Issues like, what about 1 John 1:9? Do I need to confess my sins in order to gain more forgiveness? About anxiety and depression, rescue from that downward spiral. Assurance of salvation, how can I be sure I'm really saved? These and more address the most frequently asked questions that we get here at Basic Gospel, and from the answers page, you'll hear the real answers from real listeners. You'll find the calls at basicgospel.net/resources/answers. You got two slashes in that one, basicgospel.net/resources/answers.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Dallas and talk with Hank. Hi, Hank.
Hey, how's it going, y'all?
Doing well. How about you? With you, my friend?
I'm doing all right. I got a quick question for you. I just need some biblical perspective, really. I've been hearing a lot on the Word lately about sexual purity. I've been sexually active since I was 17 years old. I'm in my mid-20s now, and I have a Christian girlfriend, but we are both sexually active together. And I've been feeling compelled to make a change in my life. But frankly, I'm unsure where to go up from here, because it's like, you know, once you let that genie out of the bottle, how do you put that back in, you know? And I guess, like, do I need to break up with her, or do we need to, like, what should we do in order to get back on track? Because I guess I don't know if it's possible to regain purity in God's eyes, but I would certainly like to try if it's possible.
Well, Hank, let me walk you through kind of the gospel message first and foremost. Jesus Christ died for your sins in accordance with Scripture. Jesus Christ was buried on the buried, and then on the third day was raised back to life in accordance with Scriptures. Now that single event changed the world, and that single event changes you. So once, Hank, you were a sinner, you were lost, you were dead spiritually. That was your condition before you received Jesus Christ. But the moment that you received Jesus Christ, you crossed over from death to life. God made you alive together with Jesus. He cleansed you of all unrighteousness. He gave you the very righteousness of Jesus Christ. He made you holy in his sight through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He made you perfect, and he sees you today as holy and blameless based on the work of Jesus Christ. So there's where you have to start, that even though you are living with your girlfriend, even though you're sexually active as you stated.
We're not living together. We're sexually active.
Okay. Even though that's happening, because you're in Christ and Christ is in you, he sees you as holy and blameless in his sight. Now that's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, now I'm more confused.
Okay. So,
do we get like a free pass to just sin anytime we want?
No. It doesn't give you a free pass. It doesn't give you a free pass to sin. What it does, it frees you from the frustration of trying to make yourself holy and blameless in God's sight. You're asking today how to regain purity in the sight of God. Well, you can't do that, can you?
Right. No, okay. Yeah, because I'm already there in his eyes.
That's exactly right. So you have to let that be your foundation for how you think about your situation right now. Okay?
Okay.
All right? So as a person that is holy and blameless in the sight of God, and your girlfriend is holy and blameless in the sight of God, how do we need to treat each other as human beings, as people who love each other? Well, you have to step back and say, all right, we're sexually active. The Bible says that sex should be contained within the bonds of marriage. So if we're doing it outside of marriage, what kind of scars could that cause to her if we break up, if we don't go to marriage? And it says that that sex is sexual immorality is a sin toward the body. Something happens within, and we see a lot of emotional scars and a lot of emotional distress. Why? Because she's giving of herself to you in hopes to gain some security. And if the relationship doesn't go forward to marriage, then she's going to be scarred from that. And so you have to ask, if I really love her, do I want to subject her to what could happen if we don't get married emotionally? You see what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah, I'm picking it up.
Okay. So the other question to ask, Hank, is this. Do you love her?
I think I do, yeah. I mean, I can't say that I don't love her. So, but
well,
love for me has always been, I've had very bad relationships in my past, so I've never been too comfortable saying the L word since then. But I do think I love her, like saying it out loud now, yeah.
Well, do you want to marry her?
Man, now that's a big question, though, because, dude, marriage is a huge commitment.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I understand that.
I'm seeing it from everybody's side now, and I'm realizing, like, how silly I look, but, like.
Yeah. Well, Hank, that's where you'd have to say, where you have to come down on. Do I love her? Do I want to marry her? Do I want to commit myself to her? And if you're not sure, I think you need to back away from the relationship and for sure sit down and say, hey, if this relationship is going to move forward, then I think we need to back away and just kind of restart it on the basis of friendship. And if we can grow together based on friendship and based on our relationship in Christ, then let's get married, and then that's going to solve it. If you can't grow together and come to the point where you say, hey, this is the one, then I think it's time for you to back away.
Okay.
Let me do this, okay. Hank. Let me put you on hold. I want to send you a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and some other resources that I think would be a big help to you. And we're right here in the Dallas area. If you need further help, call and we can set up a time to meet and talk about this further. Okay, my friend? You hang on.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, you hold on, Hank.
Well, a couple of really interesting and deep, deep questions on this edition, and we appreciate hearing from our listeners and the fact that you have reached out, and we're glad to provide those answers for you. Well, once again, thanks to everyone who supports this ministry with your love, your prayers, and your gifts. And this is the final week to get a copy of Bob Christopher's favorite passages, the top 10. Simply go to basicgospel.net to make your donation. Now for Bob and the staff, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back tomorrow, same time. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.